This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard. We're getting our weekly check of the top state headlines with news guy Noah Ovshinsky. This week, Governor Walker released a controversial workforce readiness plan, and he said no to that proposed Kenosha casino. Noah joins us every week at this time. He's the assistant news director for Wisconsin Public Radio. Hey, Noah.
Yeah. Hey, Veronica. It's good to be here. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday back at you. Well, a lot of stories to do with Governor Walker today. We're going to start off with this proposed Kenosha casino. What did the governor have to say this morning?
Well, proposed no longer. The governor officially announced today that he is rejecting the proposal to build the casino in Kenosha. Now, this plan by the Menominee has sort of been in something of limbo now for quite a while. And a lot of people have been waiting for this decision by the governor. And here, yeah, the decision came out today.
And as far as the reasoning behind it, what did the governor say?
Right. So the governor said that basically one of the reasons why he couldn't do it, and in fact, it sounds like it's the primary reason, is that agreements were reached several years ago between then Governor Jim Doyle and the Potawatomi, who would be operating a competing casino in Milwaukee, that this agreement essentially makes the Kenosha Casino unworkable. According to the governor, these agreements that were reached several years ago ensures that if the Potawatomi were to lose revenue due to competition, that taxpayers would have to make up the difference, essentially. And Walker argues that taxpayers could be on the hook for millions of dollars if the Potawatomi were to lose money because of this new casino in Kenosha.
And former Governor Jim Doyle apparently had a role in this, at least according to Governor Walker. What did he say about that?
Right. So, he said that Governor Doyle was sort of at the center of these agreements. And really, he sort of put this decision down on his feet, essentially. You know, Walker said, he told reporters today that, you know, his administration acted in good faith. They tried to come up with a solution, but ultimately they couldn't come up with one because of this agreement or agreements that Jim Doyle and his administration came up with several years ago.
And the Menominee tribe had put out counter arguments in ways that they thought might address the governor's concerns, but not enough at the end of the day.
No, exactly. The Menominee said that they would actually reimburse the Potawatomi for any losses, and therefore, you know, their project wouldn't hurt taxpayers or the state budget, as Governor Walker has said would happen. Clearly, those, you know, promises the Menominee are willing to make, clearly that was not enough for Governor Walker.
So this was just announced this morning, but what's the reaction so far?
Yeah, Kenosha's mayor, said that it was worth a try, given all the economic benefits a casino would bring to the area. Of course, we're going to hear from him in a few minutes. Representative Peter Barca, who represents the area, criticized the move. He says the governor is basically turning his back on 10,000, you know, projected jobs and more than $1 billion in new investment. Democratic legislative leaders basically say that this is a politically motivated decision by the governor during a time when he's potentially looking at running for president, and that this will play well among some potential supporters.
Well, in terms of Governor Walker, the big news with Governor Walker this week until this casino announcement, this is, you know, also big news, but the workforce readiness plan has been the subject of a lot of debate, a lot of controversy so far. What do we know about where that is?
Right. So before the news of the casino came out this morning, this really dominated the news, at least the last several days. Governor Walker made a few appearances yesterday in De Pere and Mosinee, and he released what he's calling his workforce readiness plan. And what it is basically is several initiatives and ideas that will come out in his budget, which is going to be released in just a few weeks now. And the plan included several initiatives, but one in particular got a lot of attention. Governor Walker is proposing to drug test everybody or require drug tests for everybody who is receiving food assistance or is on Medicaid or is receiving other kinds of assistance.
As I understand it, attempts to get people drug tested, other public aid recipients like food stamp people, has been out there already and has been challenged in court and in Florida. What do we know about that?
Right, exactly. I mean, Governor Walker argues that, you know, this will help find jobs. You know, he says a lot of employers are drug testing their employees anyway, and this will remove a barrier to both finding employment and for finding qualified applicants on the part of these businesses. As you mentioned, similar efforts like this have been challenged elsewhere. The state of Georgia dropped its proposal after the federal government intervened. In Florida, a similar plan was also struck down by a federal judge. Governor Walker says, unlike those, he's confident his plan should pass muster in the courts, primarily because it's not punitive. Because under his plan, people aren't going to necessarily be kicked off. If somebody tests positive, they will be offered an opportunity to participate in a free drug treatment program. So the governor's arguing here, it's not punitive. We're just trying to get people the help that they need in order to get a job.
So that's one aspect. And there was another also potentially controversial aspect to this. What was that?
So Governor Walker wants to also cut the amount of time people can receive W-2 benefits. And just as sort of a reminder, W-2 benefits, this is essentially the program that Tommy Thompson created to replace welfare. Right now, people can receive cash payments for up to 5 years. Walker wants to cut that down to 4 years.
And in terms of unpacking that workforce readiness plan, what else do we know about what's in it?
There is a third initiative that's getting some attention. Governor Walker wants to create a pathway for people who have a lot of life experience, but not necessarily a teaching degree, to actually obtain a teaching certificate.
And we talked a bit about that earlier in the show as well with Superintendent of the Department of Public Instruction, Tony Evers. And in terms of that life experience and a bachelor's degree, maybe a translating to a teacher's license, does that kind of thing already exist?
Sort of, kind of. There are alternative ways to get that certificate, but they do require, currently, they require either teaching experience or additional training.
And in terms of how this could go down, what do we know?
Well, you know, frankly, we don't have a lot of details yet, but what we do know is that the governor's budget will direct a DPI to create some kind of competency exam. We also know from what the governor has said that this avenue, this to get this teaching certificate, would only be available to teach grades 6 to 12.
And to round up our trio of stories about Governor Walker, we're going to finish off with the governor's trip to Iowa.
Right. So Governor Walker is attending the Iowa Freedom Summit this weekend. It's an event that in many ways sort of kicks off the Republican nomination fight this year. Several of the people, including Chris Christie, who are exploring a run for president, will be there.
And what is Walker planning to do while he's there?
Well, he's going to speak. And interestingly enough, this is something that the governor is taking very seriously. The Des Moines Register is reporting that Walker actually has hired a big name in Republican circles to serve as his consultant in Iowa. And, you know, according to that paper, this is the same consultant that helped Mike Huckabee win the Iowa caucuses. So clearly, getting a foothold in Iowa is a priority for Governor Walker at this point.
And the governor has other travel plans. It doesn't stop at Iowa. Politicos are watching this so carefully right now, his every move, his every travel motion. Where else is he going?
Yeah, busy agenda. So in addition to the Freedom Summit, the governor is also planning to attend an event in California this weekend, hosted by Freedom Partners. That's affiliated with the Koch brothers. It's basically their one of their fundraising arms. And so he's going to be speaking there. In February, Governor Walker is going to speak at the Conservative Political Action Conference in D.C. And the Wisconsin State Journal is reporting that he also plans to go to New Hampshire. Of course, New Hampshire is another key primary state other than Iowa, and he plans to make that visit in March. According to the State Journal, he will be a keynote speaker at a GOP event that is billed as grassroots training and rally. So a busy few months in store for the governor.
Now, I'm no expert, but looking at all the places the governor is going, Iowa, New Hampshire, Freedom Summit, it looks like somebody who's prepping to run for president, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. This is what one would expect of a potential candidate. It's getting into those early states, the caucuses and primaries, and it's getting in front of people who have big wallets to get these commitments for funding and money. Those are two things that any candidate, and in fact, you'll see other candidates who are looking at a run doing the exact same thing, you know, getting their name out there in Iowa and New Hampshire and raising money.
Well, Noah, thanks a lot for joining us. Appreciate your time.
It was good to be here. Thanks, Veronica.
We've been speaking with Noah Ovshinsky. He is our assistant news director for Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert. Rob Ferret is back on Monday. More Central Time is on the way here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.